Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
And welcome back inside the Creaking Door, the first one of 2017. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. Welcome in. Happy New Year to all. And thanks for coming on inside the Creaking Door with us. And Brad, Happy New Year, sir. Here
happy
we are,
New
first
Year.
Show of 2017.
Again, this is, great to get into it. Mm-hmm. A little warm spell here in the UP where we're at in Michigan. A little bit of a thaw, not quite. Haven't seen the sun in a bit.
Yeah, but prior to that, we were getting our butts kicked. What a winter this
is. Lots of snow, lots of blowing, lots of cold air. So it's nice to be cuddled in here inside the Creaking Door Studios.
It is. Absolutely. So we wish all of our listeners, we hope that you all had a wonderful holiday season. And here we are in the new year, 2017. And wishing you all the best in this brand new year. It's been a very exciting new year for us, Brad. And we've got some fun news, exciting news that we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah, we've already got a lot going on. 2017, we've just tiptoed into, and all of a sudden, bam, we're ready to go. You said we will talk about that later. Another great guest coming in tonight.
First time guest.
New to the Creaking Door, but not new to us. An old friend of ours, Christy Robinette, coming in.
Very excited to have Christy in with us. She's a fellow Michigander with us as well, so happy to have Christy in.
Psychic author, all-around great woman.
She really is. Yeah. One of the nicest people you will ever meet. If you get a chance to be with us at Michigan Paranormal Convention this year, you will get to meet her face-to-face.
She is coming back this year.
So anyways, we got some very exciting news to talk about at the end of the show tonight, so stick around for that. And of course, as Brad said, our guest coming up later this evening, Christy Robinette. But first, before we do anything else, Brad, we got to get into what we like to call Paranews.
Indeed.
All right. So, every now and then you'll see those stories come out where it looks like people are seeing, and they'll photograph it. And as a matter of fact, it just happened in China not too long ago, a floating city in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the whole floating city thing could actually be reality here soon, not just those atmospheric mirages that happen every now and then. An ambitious plan to build a floating city has taken a major step forward as French Polynesia has brokered a deal with the project backers that could pave the way for construction to start soon. The futuristic concept is the brainchild of a group known as Sesteating Institute, which is backed by billionaire tech mogul Peter Thiel. Now, according to the agreement between French Polynesia and the organization, must demonstrate how the idea will benefit the local economy as well as ensure that it is environmentally safe. Once the stipulations are met, Sesteating Institute will be granted clearance to begin building in the waters off Tahiti. And I saw pictures of this, well, kind of the mock-up pictures of it, and it looks very interesting. These big balloon-type things on the bottom that are supposed to make it hover just above the water.
So I've got to ask, what's the time frame? How long does it take to build a floating city?
You know, a couple weeks. No, they say the plan, should the plan continue to progress, the group hopes that the city will be home to its first residents by 2020.
And what kind of insurance costs would go to buying a house in a floating city?
I think a whole new addendum is going to be added to every insurance company.
I have to believe there's some special riders going in on that.
So. Yeah, so we'll see if that happens.
Let's come city. Back down to terra firma for my next one. We're going to go out to Yellowstone Park, which is no stranger to the Bigfoot.
No.
And once again, more Bigfoot video. I don't know if you remember a year or two ago, someone took some video that they claim was Bigfoot. Some people said it was just bison crossing.
Right.
It was blurry.
Yes.
Well, we've got another blurry video out
there. Another blurry video. Okay.
Another blurry video coming out of Yellowstone. Yep. The so-called Bigfoot family has been caught on camera walking around Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. This footage came from a Christmas Day tourist who was out just catching some video on their phone. It's a cell phone recording, so it's blurrier than if you had high def, which
sure
does make it hard to look. I tried to go over this afternoon, and I can't tell what the hell it is. It looks like it could be people in costume, but you don't know.
Haven't seen this one yet. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. And anyway, the video begins with two of the mysterious figures sitting down. They're then joined by four others. My biggest fear is that because of the poor quality, nobody will watch it or think it could be important. YouTuber Bianco, who took the video, wrote on his video's description. Sure, the video is awful and blurry, but look at it in a couple of times and you realize it's still good enough to make out what is happening. You can see them interacting with each other, using hand gestures, pointing out things in the distance, and even pointing one another back and forth. Well, like I said, it looks like it could be people in costume again. But who knows? It's a big landmass. There have been numerous alleged sightings of Bigfoot in various locations around the world, although primarily in the U.S., described as a hairy and ape-like in stature. Proponents of their existence claims they walk upright like humans and usually measure anywhere between 6 and 10 feet tall. Having clocked up to almost 20,000 views at the time of this article, a vast number of people are of the belief that this particular sighting is indeed legitimate, describing it as very compelling, awesome, and as real as it gets.
Well, I like the awesome.
Yeah. Well, awesome makes it legit awesome. Right there. So others have been a little more suspect and with the recording, and some suggested that it was instead a group of backpackers or skiers, with one YouTube user branding the footage blurry garbage. Oh, so there you go. From awesome to blurry garbage, the truth is somewhere in between.
Right in between. So, I mean, obviously, I haven't seen the video yet. You have. It sounds like there's movement. It sounds like a group of people. Why does he think it's Bigfoot? Does he say from his own eye he could tell it was Bigfoot and he tried to get it on camera?
It doesn't say that. Yeah. It doesn't say that. He saw what he thought were large bipedal creatures walking, which may well have been human.
Could also be fat rednecks.
It could be.
Seriously.
You're out in the middle. What catches me on this, too, even with his description, is they seem to be a little more interactive and direct than you normally hear about group of Bigfoot sightings.
Right.
As often as you hear about a group of Bigfoot sightings.
Well, if nothing else, we know that Bigfoot families also like to vacation at Yellowstone.
Right. Exactly. It's a popular destination. And when you get a chance, hop on, pull this up on YouTube, Bigfoot family in Yellowstone. I'm sure you'll find it.
I will definitely be checking that
one out. Worth a look.
All right. My second story here tonight in Para News is about this odd entity that was photographed during the latest full moon, which we just had last week. It's called the Wolf Moon, which is the first full moon of the new year. And it's supposed to be a pretty powerful one, they say, where it's a new beginning. It's a time to release the energy and bring in the new energy for the new year. And so it was a pretty magnificent moon from where this gentleman was taking the photo. The pictures were posted by Reddit by a person who had purportedly received the images from a friend who was baffled by what they had captured. While the initial image is fairly benign, just a photo of the full moon off in the distance, you kind of see the city landscape. The strange second image features a diminutive being that seems to be dashing across the lawn of a home that had been barren just seconds before. Now, the person who posted the photos was doubtful that they were photoshopped because he said the source for the images was of an older family, an older gentleman that is unfamiliar with the ability to do that to photographs. Mm-hmm. Additionally, they point out that the anomaly looks to be casting a shadow on the lawn, and I did notice that in the photo. It looks like a real, I mean, a shadow of sorts that looks like it's in comparison and the right size for what is there on the lawn. Again, it's blurry, much like our Bigfoots, but it's a very interesting photo, and a lot of people are saying, you know, if you're going to see creatures of nature, again, we're talking gnomes and fairies or something along those lines, why wouldn't it happen on the full moon and the first moon of the year? So,
are we sure it's not a lawn jockey on a coffee break?
Very possible. You don't know. So
exactly.
But again, if you're going to be out there looking for the family of Bigfoots vacationing at Yellowstone, check this one out, too. Google the odd entity photographed during the full moon. And if we can, too, we'll also get these up on our Facebook page as well, Creaking Door.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Neat stuff, though.
Yeah. My favorite story to come out over the last couple weeks. Now, you know, I'm a big Ouija board fan.
Right. Yes.
You know, this goes back to high school. I've always loved the board, and that's one of my big intros into the paranormal field. Widmer, Pennsylvania's Grand Midway Hotel is now officially topped by the world's largest Ouija board.
I saw this.
Guinness World Records has officially named it the world's largest Ouija board. The largest Ouija board measures 1,302.54 square feet, which was achieved by Blair Murphy and team in Widmer, Pennsylvania, on the 28th of October is when they finished this up. The Ouija board was created on the roof of the Grand Midway Hotel, whose haunted reputation contributed to the inspiration for the recent recorded Guinness record. Since buying the hotel in 2001, so Murphy actually owns this place,
okay,
he's led the renovations to transform the building, focusing on the macabre. Last winter, he envisioned putting a Ouija board on the roof and contacted Guinness to see if there was a record. They said, "We'd like to start a new category for this." Once the weather broke, the transformation began, which, in addition to Murphy and his team, the painting also included some other paranormal researchers, such as Mark Swindler, Mark Portante, James Bertasoli, and Nova Lux. So apparently he brought in some experts in his opinion on this. Brian Kano from Sci-Fi's Collector, Zaphis's sidekick there, was also involved in the project. So the entire hotel has been like our canvas. We've had the roof reserved for something special for the last 15 years. So this has been something that's been in the works. After they completed it, they contacted Guinness. They sent a rep over. And, yeah, they have noted this. And they also, I don't know if you saw the pictures or not.
I did. It looks like there's like a human-sized movable planchette.
They made a giant planchette that goes with this. So it's actually a working giant Ouija board. It's the entire top of this building. Very cool. Now, I put this up last week on the Creaking Door site.
It got some interesting comments
and a lot of negative comments. Right. And realistically, if you go back, and I know we've had the Ouija historian Robert Murch on here before with us,
right,
and you look back, and the Ouija did not have a negative reputation until you go back to 1973, and The Exorcist is really what put it under.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's sad to say, too, William Blatty, the author of The Exorcist, just passed away this past week. But yeah, that was a lot of the negative aspect of the Ouija came from that.
Right.
So before that, it was just another divination tool.
It really was. And so it's really neat to hear the history of the Ouija board, and that's why we're excited to have Robert Murch.
Yeah, coming up for
Michigan Paracon
this year. So that's going to be a good time. But now the world's largest Ouija board officially in Pennsylvania.
With a human-sized planchette.
Exactly. I'll be looking for a postcard of that.
There you go. All right, that's going to wrap up Paranews for us in this edition of The Creaking Door. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, very excited to have a first-time visitor inside The Creaking Door tonight. A friend of ours, ours. Again, another Michigander, Christy Robinette. She is a spiritual advisor, best-selling author, life coach, and psychic medium, and we're very excited to have her inside the Creaking Door. She's coming up next, right here on Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
That's a drink I can sink my teeth into.
Get ready to enjoy the most unique cola experience you've ever had with Dead World Zombie Soda. With spine-tingling flavors like Orange Roamer, Goon Bitters,
Cherry Cola,
Brain Sap,
Cream Soda,
Grizzly Swill.
Great.
12 different flavors you won't forget from Dead World Zombie Soda. Check them out at deadworldzombiesoda.com to find out where you can stock up just in time for the zombie apocalypse. Dead World Zombie Soda. All natural for the unnatural. Don't be afraid to grab a cold one. And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. And as we had said, Brad, in the opening segment, very excited to be bringing our guest inside the Creaking Door. Her first visit with us inside the door.
It is.
Yeah, but a lady we have known for a few years now, since she has come up to be a part of Michigan Paranormal Convention a couple years ago. We're very excited to have her back this August and even more excited to have her inside the Creaking Door for the first time. Please welcome Miss Christy Robinette. Christy, good evening. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's you've always been one of those guests where we're like, it's time. It's the new year. It's a new beginning. This is the perfect time to bring Christy in and to get her in for the first time. So we're excited to have you in here. So spiritual advisor, best-selling author, life coach. That is quite the resume starter right there, Christy.
Thank you. Yeah, my background is actually business and HR, so it came in really handy with being able to see dead people and being able to predict the future and hiring and firing people. So,
awesome. Yeah. So, you know, you've been doing the whole spiritual thing for quite a while now. You were almost kind of forced into it, simply because you've been seeing dead people since you were a child.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people that's sort of in my industry have a very similar story. But yeah, I was 3 years old when I had my first experience and had a spirit that came to me and said, your grandmother is going to pass away and you need to tell your mom. And so I said, grandma's going to die. And that went over real well. That was just spanking. And then grandma passed away unexpectedly. And they marched me right up to the local Lutheran school and said, get these demons out of her. So, yeah, apparently I'm still dancing with the devil right now. So.
Well, go ahead, bro.
So what was it like growing up? I mean, Tim and I have been friends since childhood, and you can just remember going through high school and the teen angst stage. What was that like for you growing up with these abilities?
Well, there were some fun times, you know, because I could tell who was going to ask who out when there was going to be a snow day. And I was really good at, you know, knowing if there was going to be a pop quiz and all that fun stuff. But being in K through 12 Lutheran school, it was, you know, being told every day that anybody that dealt with the paranormal or psychic world, that it was demonic and it was evil. And so hibernating that and not really having anybody to talk to about it was fun.
Yeah, so you went to a Lutheran school, which is one step down from Catholic guilt. So you're right there.
It is.
Yes.
It
and is. And you were also grew up in a very conservative household. At any point in that growing up phase and time of your life, did you try to block this out? Did you say, okay, no more, I don't want anything to do with this?
I think I tried really, really hard to do that. And I did it even up until I was in my 20s. I did the conservative thing. I went to college. I got married. I had a couple kids. I had married a skeptic. And I kind of tried to do the whole normal, and the normal wasn't working. And I always say, you know, don't cheat on a psychic. Because once he did that, and I left him, and everything kind of snowballed, and everything I was trying to hibernate came through, and that was a good thing.
Right.
It was scary, but it was a good thing.
Yeah, so I think it was a matter of, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like you went through that phase of your life, you found a wonderful guy now in your husband who supports you in everything you do. It almost seems like you had to fully embrace who you were to fully bring in the life that you were to live.
Yeah, exactly. I think that we all kind of go through phases, you know, depending upon what's going on in our life. At some point, we lose ourselves, and then hopefully we find ourselves. And we go through those ebb and flows throughout time. And I just kind of had that from I was born until I was 30. So it took me a little bit. It took me a little bit to find myself.
Well, let me ask you, Christy, because we've heard this from other people in the past, psychics and sensitives. Has anybody else in your family claimed to have these abilities? Is this something that you feel you've inherited, or is this just something that's popped into you specifically?
Ironically, my mom was extremely intuitive, and my mom ended up going blind when I was about 12 years old. So I always say she had to use her sixth sense, you know, whether she wanted to or she didn't. And my dad actually is pretty intuitive. In fact, now he lives with us, and he really thinks he's psychic right now. So that's probably not really true, but he thinks it's rubbing off. But his grandparents, and he was raised by them, he was so against this world, and it came out a couple years ago during like a family reunion that his grandparents were actually very famous psychics.
Really?
Wow.
He failed to tell me this.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The things dads forget to tell us sometimes, isn't it?
And my grandfather was actually really, my mom's dad was extremely psychic and intuitive as well. And he didn't tell me that until he had passed away at the cemetery. And he's like, oh, by the way, I was a psychic too. I'm like, you know, these people, I don't know why nobody communicated.
Yeah. I just find it fascinating that this could actually be a genetic, I hate to use the word condition, but I don't know what else to call it.
Yeah, we'll go disease. That's fine.
I think Brad was even trying to tiptoe around that, but
let's say genetic gift.
There you go, genetic gift. I like that.
We're good with psychic disease. Perfect. It really, honestly, I used to not think that that was the case, because you see people that say, I'm sixth generation psychic, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, just because somebody is good at piano, you know, in your family doesn't mean that you're going to be able to play piano. But so I kind of used to say whatever to that, and attributed that to the more of the acceptance, you know, so they were open to it, so they, you know, continued with it. My case is a little bit different, because nobody was open to it, and yet it does seem that everybody, both sides of my family, had a taste of it, so I was double indemnified.
So at what point then in this journey, Christy, did you decide to put pen to paper and start to become an author?
I've been a published writer since I was 12.
Wow.
So I know you guys are guys, but there was a magazine called 17 out there, and I used to write for them.
I remember seeing it on the shelves, yep. Can't say I ever owned one.
Yeah. I wrote poetry for them, and I wrote short stories for them. And
wow.
So I've always loved to write, and I was always told to not write. My high school teachers said, you know, don't write. Don't be that artist. You're not going to make any money. You're going to be broke. And my college professor said, you know, this isn't what you should do. And pretty much everyone sort of told me not to do it. So I don't like being told what to do, obviously. So here I am as a writer.
Yeah, blazing your own path, and that's wonderful. So
sure.
Out of the books that are available on Amazon now, you just – actually, by the way, congratulations. We saw it posted on Facebook earlier today. You just sent off the manuscript to your new book soon to come out. Can you talk about that new book at all?
Yeah, the new book, I'm so excited. We have a tentative title right right now that's called Tales from the Other Side, and it's T-A-I-L-S. So it's about pets from the other side who visit us and who've helped us along our journey from the other side. So I'm super excited about this. I'm not a pet psychic, but when I tune into those from the other side, they often have their pets with them. So, you know, with whether it's a sloth or a rooster, it's always surprising when I see, someone come through, with a horse or whatever. Oh. But yeah, so I'm really excited about this book, and we already have some buzz internationally with it, so I'm excited.
So are these stories that have been sent to you, or are these from your direct readings?
These are 95% of them from my direct readings. There are some tales that are connected to it and some that people had sent me. Obviously, they edit a lot of it out. But in fact, one of my favorite stories has to do with the demon cat in D.C.
Aren't all cats demon cats?
Yeah, I've got one in my house. I can tell you that.
I've got a couple in mine.
Stop it. But no, in Washington, D.C., there is a demon cat. And there's a really thick legend with that, that it's a skinwalker that is there to alert people when there is going to be some sort of tragedy that happens, whether it's Kennedy that was assassinated or 9/11. And so I kind of dug into that to see if it was really a demon cat or if it's a helper cat.
Interesting.
Is this in the White House?
It is. Yeah, they've had some sightings around the entire D.C., area. And obviously, they call the cat D.C., Demon Cat. So they've seen it around, and it started because obviously, even in Europe, they had a lot of rodent issues. So they let a lot of the cats, go take care of that so there wasn't diseases. And they started to see it then. So they've cited it in Lincoln's bedroom, and the CIA has seen it. And I actually have a personal story from somebody that works in Washington at the White House that has had an encounter with it.
Wow. So in your readings, what's the strangest animal that's came through?
Oh, my gosh. There's been some crazy ones. I don't know. The sloth might be the strangest one.
So that was an actual one?
You weren't making that
up. No, that was an actual one. No.
Wow, sloth.
And I always am like, okay, is there an analogy with this? Is it a for real? And no, it was a real sloth.
My. Well, I got to imagine.
People, I'm like, there's a chicken, and I'm like, I'm seeing a chicken, and they're like, oh, my God, that was Pepper the chicken, and I love Pepper, and he came in, and I'm like, no, you're joking with me, right? And they're for real.
Well, I was going to say, when you have animals that are that obscure, especially a sloth, you've got to know you've nailed the person you're doing the reading for then at that point.
Yeah, that's not generic at all.
Yeah. Well, Christy, I want to talk about another book that you've written that I know both Brad and I have read, and I absolutely loved it. But I got to imagine this. Did that take you a while to say, you know what, I'm going to open this much of my personal life up and share it with the world? Because I got to believe, you've always, anyone with your ability battles that raised eyebrow from a certain part of the society that says psychic medium, yeah, whatever. But now in the book Forevermore,
it's very autobiographical.
Yeah, it is. And you are telling the world, one of my spirit guides is Edgar Allan Poe, which I found absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, I actually wrote that manuscript, and it's my favorite book, too, even though I'm not supposed to have a favorite. But Poe makes me make that his favorite, whether I have to say that. But no, I wrote that without any interest to publish it at all. And I sent it to my publisher, and my editor read it, and she's like, you have to publish this. And I'm like, okay, I am going to be eaten alive. And I gave it to my husband to read, and he said, because he didn't even know at the time that Poe was a guide, and we were going on all these travels, and he had no clue that it was Poe that was sending us all over the place to uncover some of these mysteries. So he felt a little bit, he's like, seriously? You couldn't have told me this?
Yeah, tell us beforehand.
But he read it, and he's like, this is great, but are you ready for the backlash that's going to come from this? And I'm pretty thin-skinned, I'll admit it. But I agreed, and I published it. And, you know, I never got any people that were saying, what's wrong with you? I was really astounded.
Not saying it to you.
No. Oh, thanks a lot.
No, and that's, Tim and I ask all the time, what in the hell is... No, no.
No, so,
what's wrong with her? Yeah,
but yeah. So you didn't receive much backlash, which I'm glad to hear, because, I think... One of the reasons I enjoyed the book so much is I'm a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, just the idea of him being your spirit guide and the way you write that book is just you just bring us along for this wonderful journey. And we so much enjoyed the book, but you didn't receive any backlash, and I'm glad to hear that.
And I like the way you said mystery, too, because that's the way the book kind of unfolds.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, there may be a number two.
Oh, great.
But what was interesting is I received a lot of emails and phone calls from even well-known celebrities who read the book who said, I've always felt like Poe was a guide of mine, or I felt, you know, I was interested in poetry, or I was interested in, you know, mysteries or gothic horror, and it led me this way or that way. And I really received so much more positivity than negativity. I received more negativity off of It's a Wonderful Afterlife than I did Forevermore.
Really?
Yeah.
Why so?
I even received death threats with, I'm like, how do I word this?
Death threats.
I even received death threats. I ended up having to have undercover police with me during some of my events because it was the Salem Witch Trials with It's a Wonderful Afterlife, which is why the publisher decided to wait a year between the books because of the death threats. But I think people are afraid of the unknown, and maybe they're afraid that they won't go to heaven. So I don't know. Well, or they're making sure they don't go to heaven. I'm not sure.
Well, I can honestly say, Chrissy, I just finished that book not too long ago, and I loved it. I loved it from front to back.
It's a
great read. And, you know, being someone who I've lost both my parents, and that book, it really just gives you another level of comfort of being able to just go on with your life with knowing that they're there. It's just in a different form.
Yeah, they don't leave. That was a book that I really wanted to make sure got published because just like cases like your own, and I see clients every day, all day long, and I always say nobody needs me, nobody needs another psychic. No one needs to pay, you know, hundreds of dollars and wait 3 years to see somebody when you just have to quiet that inner voice,
right,
and make the connection yourself. And that was why it was so important that book got out is, you know, don't pay all this money, you know, find that connection, you know, within yourself and connect with them.
I want to take a step back for a second here, Christy. You mentioned a little bit on the side there might be a sequel to Forevermore. Are we to assume there's more to the story then that you've found out since?
There is more to the story. That is not over with.
So you are still getting connections. You're still getting messages from Poe then?
I am. He's not always around. You know, like even my husband will be like, so is Poe here? And I'm like, no. You know, once in a great while.
I'm sure dead,
you know,
people are busy
up, and
too.
I think he guides
he's got stuff
he's
to do. Yeah.
Well, I think he guides a lot of people. You know, I never claimed him as my own and my own only. So, but yeah, there's still more mysteries, you know, that's connected with this lifetime that I think he's working on.
Has that sent you traveling again?
Not as much.
Okay.
Probably to the despair of my husband because he loves to travel. But not as much. I think we've got some more traveling to do yet to sort of uncover some of the pieces.
Christy Robinette is our guest right now inside the creaking door. She's a spiritual advisor. She works in the world of psychics and mediums. And Christy, let me just say one more thing on the books. If at any point I think you need to publish a book of the stories that you share on Facebook, of the conversations between you and your dad, they are absolutely hilarious. I think you could do a whole book on that. That has nothing to do with the paranormal. You've got to, at some point, put that, put those.
It's kind of like a Seinfeld show, right?
Really?
It's like a book about nothing.
It really is. It really is. Another thing you do on Facebook, too, and I highly encourage any of our listeners right now to follow you on Facebook, because you are a very interactive person on Facebook. You're sharing your insights on life, sharing your stories with your dad, but you also share oracle cards, which is something I really enjoy, and so do my wife. Every day you put out a new deck, and when you do, and she'll text me, she goes, "You see Christy's deck? Have you picked your card yet?" And I'm like, "Oh no, I gotta go, you know, and go pick my card," and then we compare at the end of the day. And it's just, so you're very interactive with the people who follow you. Going along the lines of the oracle cards, though, what other along the lines of that do you get into? Are you into numerology at all? Do you do anything in astrology, anything along those lines?
I'm kind of strange in that the way that I read, whether it's from an astrological standpoint or a numerological standpoint, is I do it off of energy. So I don't do it like the classic book. You know, if you're a Scorpio, this is how you are. I do it more off of your energy as yourself as being a Scorpio. Don't know if that makes sense. But that's how I do the oracle cards as well, as the intuitive things that they're showing me, my guides and your guides are showing me on the other side that's connected to it, and not just from a handbook. So I'm not trained in any of it, but I've been self-trained in the energy reading, and that's what I utilize. I stunk at math.
Yeah.
So whenever anyone says astrology or numerology, I'd be like, yeah, that's all math. So that just scares me.
It's great, though, the way you get out there on social media and interact with people. And we were talking earlier about how when you were growing up, the adverse view on the paranormal and on your abilities. And Tim and I talk about this all the time. When we started into the paranormal field, conducting investigations and doing research, people looked at us like we had two heads. You know, the shows weren't out there. It wasn't popular. It wasn't mainstream. How do you feel now that the so-called new world of paranormal and the paranormal celebrity is out there, and it's really gotten kind of mainstream?
It has. It's nice to have others finally feel like they're not misfits. You know, that there's a tribe, that there's a belonging that's there. And we might not always agree on method or agree on, you know, anything, but there still is some connection that we have. And I think that that's really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we hear that from a lot of people too. And especially going back to 15 years, 16 years ago, before the ghost hunters and the ghost adventures hit big on TV, and all of a sudden everything was right out there, and Psychic Kids and all of the shows. I mean, we'd have trouble getting into places and trying to, you know, when people would call us, it was just don't tell anybody. And now it's right out there. And it's amazing that people like you can be out there helping people without putting this stigma on them.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I say that the shows are great, but there is a back, you know, end to it where, mm-hmm. like you said before, they're like, don't tell anybody. And now they're like, do you have a camera crew with you?
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
Exactly. We've learned that the hard way.
You know.
Yeah. No, it truly
so
is.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to say. It's the psychic ability. You just took the words out of my mouth. I was about to say it's a double-edged sword. So, no, and it's so true. It really is. You take the good with the bad. It's the yin and the yang, I guess, mm-hmm. you know. And it's really put up.
Yeah, and it balances out eventually.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I'm sure at some point we're going to see the dust settle and the shows, although, I mean, it seems like they're coming out with more shows now than they were 5 years ago. So it seems like right when it seemed like the dust was starting to settle, I think there's getting a stir up again mm-hmm. here, at least on the celebrity or the TV side of it anyway. So
I don't think it's going away. Yeah. You know, I think that they have to reinvent, and I've spoken to a lot of different production companies, and we've been up for several jobs, and I've decided to not do most of the jobs,
mm-hmm.
but they've got a lot of, I remember last year I had a production company that said, we would love to take you, but you need to be, now I'm word for word, this isn't my words. They're like, but you need to be a midget. So
what?
You need to be a small medium.
Oh, God.
What?
I'm like, wait, what? You have to be a little person medium.
Who in the hell comes up with this?
Some
well, that's there.
It's yeah. That's Hollywood.
Some producer getting paid more money than we'll ever see is coming up with that yeah. idea right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's everything from, well, do you own a goat, to, you know, because if you do, then we'll take you, to, you know, oh, you wrestle man. With crocodiles and to have telepathy, because that would be good.
Because that would be great. That's ratings gold right there.
And then you could tie those ratings. In with, you could tie those in with the new book, Tales from the Other Side.
Sure.
A goat sure. wrestling crocodile.
Except I'm not going to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Where is this world taking us? Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of which, Christy, heading into the new year now, 2017, the world around us is very crazy right now. It's so divided, especially right within our own country. Heading into the new year, though, and the energy that you're feeling and picking up on, what's your feeling? What's your gut feeling for this new year for us?
You know, I just was at a library and I was talking about predictions for the next year. And, you know, and as I talked about the kind of the doom and gloom of everything, and sure, I can predict an earthquake or a tsunami or a terrorist attack, but that's not going to serve any of us.
Right.
It's not putting love into the energy. So I actually think we're going to be okay. We've always been okay. Mm-hmm. We've all got one another in some way, somehow we'll be okay. We have to stop this hate and this divide and learn how to get along. I mean, didn't we learn how to do that in kindergarten?
Right, exactly.
You know, we need to kind of get back to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't care who you like and who you don't like, but play nice together.
Amen.
So, Christy, take us, before we let you go here, we'll just keep you inside here for a couple minutes with us before we let you go. But take us inside kind of how the ability works. I know it's a little bit different for every person out there who has that ability. And I know, you know, and you've always been very open about it, too, that everyone has the ability. It's just a matter of becoming in tune with it and the ability to listen to your spirit guides and to listen to the other side. But how does it work for you when you're in a reading? Do you see? Do you hear? Can you talk to them? How does it work for you?
I actually physically see the spirit standing in front of me.
Okay.
So I see them, their clothes that they used to wear, their hair, their eyes. And even if I'm doing paranormal investigations, it's the same way for me. And then I telepathically hear them, and I kind of have what they call all the clairs. I see, I hear, I sense, I feel, I know. That's kind of just the woman thing. I know. And I also have the medical intuitiveness, though, that I can feel on my body what they might have passed away from, and I'll feel that pain or the sludginess or spots from cancer or what have you that's connected to that.
Wow. So here's a question for you, because this comes up from time to time. Do you see them as they were when they died, or as they seem to want to project themselves in their prime?
They tend to first show me the way that they, when they passed away, just for validation purposes.
Okay.
So, and then they kind of morph, if you will, into the way that they are healthy, happy on the other side. Sylvia Brown used to say that everyone was 35 years old on the other side.
Right.
And I think that that was just her happiest time. So she kind of projected it that way.
Okay.
Because that's not necessarily the truth. Mm-hmm. But kids are a little bit different. So if it's a miscarriage or a termination, I see them as a baby. If it's someone that was like 5 years old that passed away, I actually, if it's been 10 years, I see them as 15 years old.
Oh, interesting. Now, I've also read and heard too, Christy, that sometimes very soon after a passing, it's not a good time to try to communicate. It's too soon. Do you see that as well?
I do, yeah. I always say they're either waiting in the airport or waiting on the plane to take off.
Right.
Or just healing their soul. So from an earthly time, I say it typically takes 6 to 12 months. However, yesterday I had a session in my office and she sat down and she had been booked for like a year and she wanted to talk to, you know, like a grandmother energy. And her husband had passed away 2 weeks previous and he came right through.
Oh, wow.
So it really honestly is a case by case, but you need to mourn. You know, the person that's right. going through that, I think, has to mourn. And most of the time they're not paying attention to what's being said or the connections because they're in such deep grief.
Or yeah, and do you think maybe that's also from the person on the other side who understands that those that they left behind, they need that time to mourn. So they don't want to make any type of connection yet.
That, and they want to enjoy their heaven. They want to be like on vacation. Like, stop calling me.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me chill.
Christy Robinette, it has been an absolute pleasure having you inside the Creaking Door. And I'll tell you what, we just scratched the surface of just sitting here and talking and sharing stories. We would love to have you back in again and just dig a little bit deeper more into who Christy Robinette is. But thank you so much for being with us today inside the Creaking Door.
When the new book gets published, let us know. We would love to have you back in then and get a little bit deeper into some of these pet stories.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Christy.
You can find out more about Christy Robinette at her website, which is christyrobinette.com, and you can find all of her books there too. Highly recommend picking up her book. She's a wonderful writer, and the personality that you heard here on this episode, that is what you get on the pages. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the way. This is Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by slackjawpunks.com. Do you love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, slackjawpunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
Slackjawpunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***. And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio for our third and final segment. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. And once again, want to thank our guest, Christy Robinette, who is our main interview on this episode. And Christy's just such a wonderful person. I mean, you can hear it when, if you haven't met her and you just listen to the show, you can hear her personality come through. That's her. She's just an honest to goodness good person.
She's so genuine.
Yeah.
And you get a lot of skeptics, especially when you're dealing with the psychics and with the extra sensory perception.
Right.
And but you talk to her and she's so laid back and she's just so straightforward. And honestly, I don't think she cares if you don't believe what she's
saying.
That's
just it. Exactly.
So, yeah. Very, very happy to have her on tonight.
She's one of those people where if you ever did doubt or were a skeptic, you spend any amount of time with her, and it'll change your mind. Change your mind because she is such a down-to-earth, honest person. So thank you to Christy Robinette for coming on Inside the Creaking Door. And we were talking in between breaks here, Brad, that we can't wait for her new book to come out, which is about spirit tales of animals and family pets. And we can't wait to be a part of that.
Yeah. And that's something that everybody seems to get
love
into.
Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Should be great. And we'll be working with her this summer again at Michigan Paracon. So always a good time.
Really looking forward to it. All right, let's go ahead and get ourselves into mailbag here, Brad. This is the segment of the show where we allow our listeners to send us questions they may have. You can send it to us via our Facebook page. It's very simple. You can private message us. You can leave it on the main page. But we're the only Creaking Door Paranormal Radio on Facebook, so it's easy to find us. If you're not following us, please do. And today's question comes from Darren L. out of Ocala, California. And Darren asks, what is the difference, guys, between a shadow person or a ghost? I have not experienced either myself. I'm just curious. I see and hear about them on the TV shows and have read about them. Do you guys know? Thanks for your time and thanks for the show, Darren.
Boy, well, this can go so many different ways.
Oh, it really could.
Yeah.
Because there's different theories out there.
There are.
You know, a ghost obviously is that of the way we perceive it in the field is that of a deceased person that their energy or their spirit is left behind.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the whole shadow person starts to dig into other dimensions and this and that. And
you get to the interdimensional and possibly the djinn.
Yep.
And there's so many different, I guess, probably the most famous shadow person sightings we hear about are Waverly Hills.
Yeah.
It seems everybody sees shadow people there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this something playing itself out from the past? Is this an interdimensional being that, for some reason, there's a thinner wall that they can cross over?
Right.
We don't really know, but they do seem to be different from the average spirit encounter.
They do. A lot of people who have encountered them say that they never really seem to interact. That it's almost like they're just standing there and watching.
Yes.
You know, I've read some theories, too, where there's a whole nother storyline of the Hat Man,
right,
which a lot of people tie into shadow people,
mm-hmm,
which then I've seen another addition onto that where people have said, okay, well, if they look like they're wearing the brimmed hat and they're just standing there watching, are they connected to Men in Black somehow?
Right.
So it's just the whole shadow person theory just goes and goes and goes.
Yeah. Demonology is brought into this. Is this a demonic entity? Time traveling. Is this a time traveler that's cloaked? Is it an alien being that's cloaked somehow?
Yeah.
We don't know, but what most people in the field do agree on is they feel this is separate from a traditional spiritual haunting.
Yep. And I have not found any type of report yet or come across any that talks about a negative. There's people who say they felt negative around a shadow person, but never an attack that I've...
Physical interaction.
Right.
I've never heard of. I've heard of people walking through them.
Mm-hmm.
And getting this ice cold feeling,
yeah.
But never, as you said, no poltergeist activity, no type of an attack.
Right.
So,
but always seems they just kind of stand there and watch the person that is seeing him. So,
yeah, very voyeuristic.
Yeah, which is creepy within itself. So, Darren, I don't know if we fully answered it for you, sir, but like Brad said, I think it's easy to say they are two different things. The shadow person is different from the traditional ghost in the field, but exactly what a shadow person is, at this point, who the hell knows? Yeah. I mean, there's so many theories out there.
That's what we keep looking.
Exactly.
We keep looking.
And it's interesting.
That's why we keep working in the field. Yeah. So,
well, again, Darren, thank you for the mailbag question. Thank you for listening, sir. We do appreciate it. And don't forget, you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. And you can also find us right here on our home of slackjawpunks.com out of the Motor City in Michigan. So, and if you want to send us a mailbag question, just like Darren did, again, you can find us on Facebook. Send it that way. And we'll be happy to share it on a future episode. Well, Brad, we had said at the beginning of the show, we got some very exciting news we want to share with our listeners, especially if you're down in the Chicago area.
Yeah, just January, and we're already starting to book our schedule solid for the fall, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. But yeah, the Chicago Ghost Conference. Very excited. Tim and I have been there in the past.
Yep.
But this is the first year we're actually going to be on stage presenting. And this is happening October 6th through the 8th in Chicago,
she
said. And wow, what a great lineup she's got this year. Ursula Bielski that puts this on, well-known Chicago author.
Mm-hmm.
She's the owner of Chicago Ghost Tours. She has put together her biggest lineup yet. So,
and find her books, too, Chicago Haunts. She does a great job writing those.
We'll have to bring Ursula on the show here in the future.
Yeah, I would love to have her on, and if nothing else, just to get caught up with her on Chicago Haunts.
Right.
You know, but then also talk about Chicago Ghost Conference. Again, we're very excited.
Some of our friends in the field, some great people there. Jeff Belanger, author and Ghost Adventures head writer, he's going to be there. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis from Darkness Radio and Coast to Coast AM will be there. A good friend of ours, the good Reverend Tim Shaw.
Yes.
Is going to be there.
It'd be great to see Tim down there.
Yeah, Andrea Perrin, of course, of the Conjuring fame. Somebody that we've never actually met. I don't know how we have not crossed paths with Brian Kano.
Right.
Who we talked about a little bit earlier.
From Haunted Collector.
Was on that the world record Ouija board.
You're right.
We have never actually crossed paths in all the years with Brian. I don't know how that's happened, but he's going to be there. Joe Chin from Ghost Hunters International making an appearance. Chris Quarantino, who you know as Chris Lutz from the Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the children that grew up in that house.
Amazing story.
And the list goes on and on. So, yeah, check that out. Chicago Ghost Conference happening October 6th through 8th. So we're really looking forward to that, as well as the Michigan Paracon the last weekend of August.
Those tickets are on sale now.
Those tickets are on sale. I believe the Chicago Ghost Conference tickets are just on sale this week.
Right.
And we've got a couple other bookings that we'll be announcing in the hopefully near future.
Very near future.
If you're interested in bringing us in, we love to get out there. We love to work with the public. We've got numerous presentations that we give. So give us a call. Get a hold of us. Call Tim directly at 906-440.
Wait a minute. Beep.
Or you can message us directly on Facebook.
Much easier.
Catch us at Creaking Door on Facebook. Also, creakingdoorparanormal.com is the website.
There you go. So you can reach out to us via the World Wide Web. And as Brad said, we just love to get out there and be a part of the crowd. So we'd love to come to your conference and event as well. And very excited to be in Chicago and our other events coming up this year that we'll be telling you about. And we've got some more exciting news coming up about Michigan Paranormal Convention as well, Brad. A whole another part of the lineup that we haven't even announced yet.
There's at least another 6-7. Actually, Christy Robinette, who we had on tonight, I think this is our first official announcement.
It is,
That we did get our contract in from Christy. She will be here. She will be presenting on stage. She will also be doing gallery readings. So watch the website for those at SueSaintMarie.com or MIParacon.com. We'll link you in there as well to find out how the gallery reading tickets are not on sale yet. That will be coming up the start of March.
Yes.
So keep checking back there. It's guaranteed to sell out. Christie's galleries will sell out.
All right. There we go. And that's going to take us to the end of another show. We wish all of our listeners a very happy 2017. And thank you for coming along with us. Inside the Creaking Door, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
The Creaking Door.